not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here, in this place, the new light is shining. That anthem is today's message. It's a happy birthday message. It's New Church Day, the birthday of a new kind of church, one where the word is opened, the truth is available, accessible to all. All may approach the living God. Today we celebrate spiritual freedom with its responsibilities and its joys. As those of you who have been in the parish house know, around the border of the fireside room is a very special saying. It's in Latin because that's how the writings were written. And what it means is, now it is permitted to enter with reason, with intellect, with understanding into the mysteries of faith. What does that mean to you? Swedenborg relates the story in True Christianity, number 508, just a little earlier. And in a vision, which is recounted more fully in the piece in the bulletin, he saw the words, the first two words of that, that are translated, "Now it is permitted." And they were over the door of the temple in his vision. Kind of interesting because there is no temple in the holy city. Later in that vision, he sees an angel who appears like a small child from a distance, as the angels from the highest heaven always look to Swedenborg. And I won't read it to you, but the text of that writing in the fireside room is written in the passage in the bulletin. The word of God lies open for all to learn from. We are invited into the mysteries, all of us, our reason, our intuition, our loves. We're invited to know and to understand for ourselves. Our reading from Matthew records Jesus' calling to his disciples, calling them into his service after his resurrection. The reading from Acts recounts how on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples, I probably got the tongues wrong, but these not so well-educated men to speak in tongues so that everyone there could hear and understand. Let those with ears to hear and understand. But the purpose of Pentecost wasn't to gather in. It was to send out. And that's echoed in the reading that from Pentecost, from Acts, and it's echoed in the True Christianity 791 passage. At the end of the Last Judgment, Swedenborg saw in a vision this recommissioning of the disciples in the spiritual world on June 19th, 1770. Now, literal-minded Swedenborgians will tell you that June 19th is the second coming of the Lord. A second coming in spirit, not a bodily presence in this material world. The Lord comes to each of us whenever we invite God into our hearts and our minds. So today, for me, is a day we celebrate spiritual freedom. The day that, with the completion of the Last Judgment, never again can the hells be able to cut us off from God. Now, if you're like me, start scratching your head about now, going, wait a minute. Our God is always available, always compassionate, always reaching for us. How can we be cut off from God, other than we may choose to be distant? So that's pretty confusing. For me, one way to understand that situation is in the other readings from this morning. The Genesis passage is from the second creation story, and it's thought to date it's the oldest one that we know of. It's thought to date to about the 10th century before Common Era, about 3,000 years ago. And just before the portion we heard Susan read is the famous scene of the serpent tempting Eve. Eve eats the apple, holds it out to Adam, and we all know that if that hadn't happened, that bad serpent hadn't tempted Eve and she hadn't tempted Adam, we'd all still be living in the Garden of Eden, right? So in many traditions, that is referred to as the fall of man, fall of humans, and as original sin. Well, what happens to Adam and Eve after they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They become aware of the fact that they're not wearing any clothes, and they hide. They hide from God, like that was going to work. So they're not really able to stay hidden. God finds them and questions them. And after ascertaining that, like disobedient children, Adam and Eve did something they were expressly forbidden to do, God sends them forth and then bars the entrance with this fearsome cherubim, this winged sphinx, and a flashing sword that prevents them coming back in. That's a pretty awesome vision. And does that sound like a compassionate God, loving God to you? Sounds more like an angry parent to me. So let's try a different perspective. Swedenborg expressly states at a different point in True Christianity that there is no original sin on the part of Adam and Eve that impacts us today. Instead, he says, we are born into this world in a material, sensual body and with what he calls a tendency towards evil. We're born into a world where we inherit evil from our direct ancestors. That's kind of a head-scratcher, too. We can think of this, perhaps, as that we're born into a modern America where European colonizers wiped out the indigenous peoples and imported slaves from Africa to work in their plantations. You and I did not take part in this. And for those of you who are born in a different country, every nation has its own such wrongs. So we inherit these systemic wrongs that result from our ancestors' choices. They may have been doing the very best they could in the time that they found themselves. But we have inherited the consequences of their choices. And we are called to respond. We're called, as the Jewish saying says, to repair the world, tikkun olam. And we do that by living good lives. So to do this, we must focus beyond the material. Our theology teaches us that we must acknowledge that we can't fix things all by ourselves. When we focus on material things, when we rely only on ourselves, when we seek to be in control, we are hiding from God. This blocks our spiritual growth and our regeneration. And in this post-Eden world, the way of salvation, the way of regeneration, is by developing our reason, exercising our free choice, reflecting on those choices, turning again and again to God. This is repentance, which comes from the Greek word metanoia, to change one's mind, to turn again. Repentance is followed by the commitment to reform ourselves. And through this process of reformation, reformation, recreation, regeneration, we live into our true purpose and so are formed for heaven. Perhaps humanity's expulsion from the Garden of Eden may be viewed as a graduation into the journey of becoming our true selves, discerning our ruling love, as Swedenborg calls it, through the exercise of our freedom of choice. Our freedom of choice, our free will is so precious that God protects it at all costs, even the cost of letting us choose to not love him. Post-Eden, each of us is free to choose God through our own choice, or as if of ourselves. Some Swedenborgians view the Bible as describing, in stories, the growth and development of each of us as an individual and of the entire human race. If so, then we need to examine what's at the other end of the Bible. What is at the end of the Revelation to John? The holy city which descends from heaven, in the middle of which we find the tree of life, on both sides of the river of the water of life, which pours out from the throne of God through the center of the city, Eden restored. The tree of life bears 12 kinds of fruit, and it is the good which each of us does in acting as if of ourselves, acting in freedom from love of the truth of the water, to be of use in our daily lives. It is the fruition, the finding of our true purpose, discovering and living into our ruling love. This is what we find at the other end of the Bible. So today we celebrate the birth of the new church, the end of the last judgment, and spiritual freedom. We celebrate that now we can enter with reason and intellect into the mysteries of faith, another graduation for humanity. There's no more waiting. We're grown-ups now. We're accountable for our choices. We have access to the mysteries of faith, to the comfort, the consolation of God. And through our rational selves, through our reflection on our actions, considering again and again, committing ourselves to reform, committing ourselves to the work of regeneration. We cannot do this alone. Just as the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples on Pentecost, giving them the miraculous ability to communicate good news with others in their own language, so the Holy Spirit bound them together as a community. The Holy Spirit fired their flesh and their bones with a love and a sense of shared purpose, a purpose that gave them the strength to persevere against all the challenges they faced. Bound together in such a way that they carried the communal sense of purpose with them as they went to the ends of the earth. And God was with them through the ends of the ages. That's what we're celebrating today. Our spiritual freedom, the freedom to enter into the fullness of a relationship, a partner with a living God, to choose to follow God, to choose to live our beliefs. God gathers us in and holds us forever. God makes us her own. And God gathers everyone who welcomes the Holy Spirit, who breathes the breath of life, who drinks of the water of the river of life. God calls each of us by name, brings us together into community, and then sends us forth into the world. Today we celebrate our renewed commission, our commitment to the work of regeneration, of recreation, as individuals, as members of this community, as members of all of the communities in which we live and work. By accepting that commission, like the disciples, we too will be filled with the sacred fire that is the love of God and of the neighbor. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here, in this place, the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom. Now is the day. Happy birthday.